Hello there, and welcome to our thought for the day. Our Bible reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and part of the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon of the Lord Jesus. Matthew 5, beginning to read at verse 25. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. As we come to God's word for a few moments, let's begin with a word of prayer taken from the psalm of Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Jesus is speaking both to his disciples and to a larger crowd. Having begun with the eight Beatitudes, Jesus then moves on to speak about the relationship between the Old Testament scriptures and himself and the gospel, the good news that he's come to declare. Jesus has come not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them in his person, his teaching, his work, his life and death and glorious resurrection. Jesus is fulfilling all that had been anticipated, all that had been implied in the pages of the Old Testament. The shadow is giving way to the substance. But entry to the kingdom of God requires a righteousness that exceeds that of the religious leaders, the Pharisees. How could that be possible? Only we discover through gaining the righteousness of Christ, through faith in him, and by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, who enables us then to walk in accordance with God's commands. Jesus is not contradicting the law of Moses, but the Pharisees' perversions of that law. It's with regard to the interpretation of the law that we see this difference. Where the Pharisees restricted the law, Jesus extended it. Where the Pharisees extended the law, Jesus restricted it. And so we discover in the closing section of chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel and into chapter 6 that Jesus gives us six examples. You have heard, he says, but I tell you. And the first of those examples is in the section that begins at verse 21 and concludes with our reading today. Jesus deals with murder and anger, with our emotions, our words, our behaviour. He's extending the commandment from the act of murder to the emotion of anger. Jesus takes two situations and shows us how we should act in those circumstances. In both situations, there was someone who had something against an individual. The inference is that firstly the worshipper and then secondly in our verses today the debtor were in the wrong. It was their responsibility to take the initiative and to speak face to face. There was a need for personal contact. To look someone in the eye and admit our failings is often hard. The easy option is to keep a low profile or perhaps correspond at a distance. Jesus says in these situations regarding the worshipper and then the debtor, go and be reconciled. Settle matters quickly while you are still with him. The Saviour is showing us in these verses that our vertical relationship with God and our horizontal relationship with our fellow man are inseparably linked in the sight of God. We cannot maintain a walk of personal holiness and righteousness before God and yet be at loggerheads with our fellow human beings. We cannot compartmentalize our lives as if the way I behave towards my fellow man does not have a bearing upon my relationship with Christ. As the Apostle John writes, "For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." Maturing as a Christian is not about making ourselves an island and pulling up the drawbridge. There may be times when we feel like doing that, but it goes against the fundamental doctrine of the church. Trying to live out the Christian life in splendid isolation may seem attractive, and indeed the recent upsurge in online church services has made such an approach perhaps even easier, but it is blatantly unbiblical. Someone said to me only recently, "It is both God's word and God's people." Maturing as a Christian takes place then as we rub shoulders with our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we discover that we and they are not yet perfect, and as we learn to forgive and learn to be forgiven. The implication of what Jesus says here is that when we don't follow that pattern and instead harbour grudges and leave hurt people in our wake, we offend our brother and we offend our God. So Jesus gives us these two illustrations, these two situations. The first is found in worship, verses 23 to 24 that we looked at yesterday. The second situation is found in the law, the verses that I read earlier, in verses 25 and 26. The first is going to the temple to offer a sacrifice. The second is going to court to answer the charges. The first concerns an unresolved break in fellowship. The second concerns an unpaid debt. The first concerns a brother. The second, you'll notice, concerns an adversary. In both cases, someone has a grievance against us. In both cases, the response is to be immediate, urgent, remedial action, in which the one who owes the apology or the one who owes the debt is to take the initiative. Broken relationships are to be restored. Restitution is to take place. Reconciliation is to follow. And you will notice Jesus emphasizes in his illustrations that restoration and reconciliation is to take place before the worship is offered, or in our verses today, before the courtroom is reached, before the judge appears, before the sentence is declared. As Jesus closes this passage with a reference to a human court and a human judge, it draws us beyond to consider our appearance before a heavenly court and a divine judge. One day we will stand before the one who knows our every emotion, who hears our every word, who sees our every action. It's a solemn and sober thought that Jesus here takes the Old Testament law and extends it. No wonder that Warren Wiersbe wrote, "The Sermon on the Mount is more difficult to keep than the original Ten Commandments." Is God's word prompting you and I today to take the initiative in seeking restoration, in making restitution, in reaching out for reconciliation, that we might know a right relationship with our fellow human beings and a right relationship with our God?